title of my message this morning is Thank God for His Grace. Thank God for His Grace. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard of this word called grace. Yet we do we really know what it means? You know, my first introduction to this word, which is found really throughout the Bible, was when growing up before we would eat, someone would say grace. And you got to know, my dad was a stickler for two things. Wash your hands, and then let's say grace. And so anybody come into the house for dinner or supper, he'd show them where the bathroom is. If y'all want to refresh up, wash your hands, and here's the bath, where the bathroom's at. So, and hopefully I've changed my wicked ways. I remember going fishing, you know, you're sitting in that chair or on the boat or on the bank, and you reach down, pick up them old earthworms, that big old long earthworm out of that little thing, container, and with all its the dirt around it, you put it on that hook and throw it out there. And then with the same hand, I reach over and grab a bag of Fritos, a hand of Fritos, you know. And then grab a Vienna sausage with it. So now, I haven't fished in a long time, so hopefully that old nature won't kick back up, you know, when that happens. But, so, you know, I thought grace was a prayer. I'd hear sermons about grace, but I could never really understand its meaning. I'd hear about love. I would hear mercy being preached and power and even heaven and hell. And I could get those to a degree, but grace, not so much. And then as I began to understand grace, I realized that it's maybe the deepest word in the Bible. And it's very hard to preach on because when you hear what it really means, your natural mind wants to reject it or struggle with it, because you've got to understand grace is totally foreign to this world. And some may think, wait a minute, you know, is he really preaching the truth, or is he making something up? Well, let's just start this morning from the book of Acts. Chapter 11, we'll have it on the screen, beginning with verse 19. And let's see how the word grace is used. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled so far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and he saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now here's what happened. The early church was all Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. All the 12 apostles were Jewish. The church in Jerusalem was all Jewish. And then the Gentiles heard and received the gospel. Well, who's a Gentile? It's anyone who's not a Jew. So the Gentiles received the gospel, and now even the apostles struggled with this. Because for so long, listen, there was hatred between Jews and Gentiles. But how many know God's love can break down racial and ethnic barriers of hatred? Amen. Understand, when you find folks of any race hating on others, then you have to know they truly don't know God at all. There's no personal true relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter if they memorized the whole Bible, because God is love and He loves everyone. Can we say amen? We need to always remember that, because Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. You love one another, not because you know scripture verses, not because you understand the gifts of the Spirit, or speak in tongues, or you can prophesy, or even declare faith to move mountains, or heal the sick. We know all of those have their place, but it's about love. Can you say that? It's about love. So this message of the gospel went to Antioch in Syria. Certain unknown people started a church there, and the word got to Jerusalem. Antioch now is lit up with the gospel, and things are happening. So they sent, we read where they sent Barnabas, one of the leaders of the church, and look what happened. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their heart. So he came and he saw how the gospel had now reached not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. And he went on. He went, oh, that's the grace of God. That's his divine favor being poured out on the Gentiles. And now Barnabas, we find that later on he goes on a missionary trip with a former persecutor of the church named Saul of Tarsus, who we know became known then as the Apostle Paul. And we find over in Acts chapter 13, verses 42 and 43, we find this particular story recorded for us. Barnabas and Paul, they're out preaching in a synagogue on their first missionary trip. And listen what happened. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to, watch this, continue in the grace of God. Understand with me, that's not a phrase that we use all the time, yet we see that it's very biblical. So what do we find out here? It's that the grace of God does things. When Barnabas saw in Antioch a certain situation, he went, oh, the grace of God did that. The Gentiles were now receiving the gospel and turning to Christ. And then Paul later and Barnabas tell new believers or people who are hunting for the truth to continue walking in the grace of God. In other words, let that grace be over you like an umbrella. You can see that as a word picture. So what does all of that mean? Well, many may remember reading about John Newton, a former slave trader in England. He would run up and down the west coast of Africa doing horrible things in the slave trading business. And he got converted, and then he hated himself and all that he had been involved in. The Lord got a hold of him and changed his life. And he wrote this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So that grace, this word grace, a lot of people only know it from this song called Amazing Grace. But they still don't know what grace is. The word grace comes from a Greek word, and that Greek word is the word charis. And charis comes from another Greek word that means to rejoice or be glad. And that's where we get the word charisma. That's where we get the word charismatic. So grace describes then the joy and delight that we get when something is done for us or given to us. When I give something to someone and they say, oh, this is so good, that delight in me giving them that is an act of grace. But a little something else about grace, the word denotes the fact about the fact that nothing is expected, Brandon, in return. It's not like this word that the world uses, quid pro quo. You ever heard that used? That means I do for you and you do back to me. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. No, grace is not like that. Grace finds its inspiration only in the one who's giving. It has nothing to do with the person who's receiving. This is why folks struggle. We struggle with this word because everything in this world is based on no grace. You might get 100 questions right on a test of 100 and get a score of 100. You get 50 right and you get a score of 50, and guess what? You flunked out. There's no grace. It's totally by your answers. Every sport that is played, like basketball, you score 64 points, the other team scores 58, and you win because of more points. You take the SAT scores each year. You want to go to college, and guess what? They're watching your grades. And if it's above a certain grade, you may have a shot at an Ivy League school. If it's below a certain grade, then they can determine, no, you're not, you can't make it. If you want to be a lawyer or a doctor or a certified for any certain field, you have to score high enough then on your test to get that position. If not, you fail. And the whole world works that way. God's grace does not work that way. You are given grace and you receive grace even though you have not done a thing. This word grace is used especially of the favors done by God without expectation of return. It's His absolutely free expression of His love to men and women with no other motive except His goodness and His love. So when God, who is love, expresses His love and does something, then that love acts. The love of God does something for us. That's grace. God's love is action. God's love in action is grace. And the only reason He's doing it has nothing to do with that person. They could be a scoundrel, seemingly good for nothing, or they could be a great guy in the world. It doesn't matter. Grace only is about what that person who's giving it has in his heart. So grace is based on God's heart, not what you and I deserve. How many know what we really deserved from our past? Understand, God's grace is about Him freely bestowing on us love gifts and favor and whatever blessings He gives, and it all flows then from grace and has nothing to do with who we are or who we were. And when you ask, well, why? The answer the Lord has for us is, it's because I love you. God says, I'm not looking at you who you are or what you are. I love you, period. That's it. God is love. So He can't help but love us. So grace is this love in action. And it's the basis for our salvation. We are all saved by grace. God's salvation has nothing to do with what you have done or what you have promised to do. It has nothing to do with your behavior. Because if it did, you could boast about something, and God's not letting, guess what? God's not letting anybody boast. All the glory, how many know, goes to God. But for all the glory then to go to God, God has to do everything, or else there would be a piece of the action then for you and me. So the Bible says, and so many Christians don't understand this, that I'm to sit there so to speak and just believe and I'm saved? Well, here's what Paul wrote, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we see no one person here in this building this morning can say they did anything to get saved except put their hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Of course, we know that we have to surrender our hearts and we choose to put ourselves in that place to receive His grace. And sadly, we even struggle with this because we're all legalists by nature, as we're all brought up in legalism because the whole world works by legalism. It's a world of rules and it's a world of laws. We know that. The idea of God's love and free grace is like, no, that can't be so. When we search it out, listen, we find everything is by grace and you're saved by grace. Why then isn't everybody saved? Because some people don't believe. What does belief mean? It means you put your hands out and you take what's offered. But if you push it away and you say, well, I don't want it, that's really, guess what? That's really unbelief. You don't believe that it's for you. Now you're lost, not because God didn't provide you the free gift of salvation. No, you didn't want it. You're saying, I don't need it. I'm not a sinner. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I don't need this stuff. I'll work it out myself. God, I'll turn over a new leaf on my own. You just wait and see, God. And now, guess what? You're really lost. Now you're under the law. And by the works of the law, no one will ever be justified. Now you're going by your behavior pattern. Now you're trying to merit something from God. Listen, we have to get this. Everything is by grace. God does not work with us on any other basis but His grace. He says, I'll give you what you need. Just believe me. And yes, a lot of us do start out saved that way. We get the idea. Wait a minute, He did die for me on the cross. He washed my sins. I know I couldn't have done that. So I know I'm saved by grace. Now I've got to live my life the right way, and so I'm going to really live for Him. Wait till you see how I live for Him. I can do it. I can do it on my own. And then you find out, wow, all of a sudden you find yourself doing things that you shouldn't be doing and not doing things that you should be doing. You're practicing sin. You're tempted to watch things that you shouldn't. Now you're lying and getting angry. And those ugly prejudices are again raising their ugly head in your life. And you're like, no, I'm going to overcome. Now you're struggling when you don't realize He doesn't just wash away our sins. But watch this. He promises to keep you every day by His grace. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily walk with His grace. It's His power at work in us 24/7, 365 days a year. Peter said this, we're kept by God's power by faith. And those gifts keep being made available to us. It's like someone says to you, come over to my house. I got the table set, all the food is out. Just come and sit and eat. And when you sit down, you eat what's prepared for you. Well, let me ask, can we boast about anything then that we did other than, well, look at that meal. I ate all of it. Guess what? It wasn't anything you did to make that happen. You can't take the credit. Someone invited you in and fed you. That's why it is so hard on those who know the Bible. The truth, the Bible warns about those who negate or reject the grace of God. They try to play with the grace of God, but everything God does in our lives is by grace. It's purely done as a gift to us. How do we receive then what we need from God? We say, well, Lord, today I'm going to need Your wisdom in the situation that I'm facing. I need Your wisdom from above. You promised to give us wisdom. In fact, You want us to desire Your wisdom. So, Lord, I ask for it. and I believe that I'm going to receive it. So I'm just going to thank you now for it and declare it so over my life. That's what we do. Okay, Lord, depression is knocking at my door. I need help. I don't want to open that door. Lord, you said the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, Lord, I thank you for that joy that's going to bubble up from on the inside of me for the strength that I need to overcome today. I can't try to be happy. Lord, so thank you. I'll take your joy. Well, Lord, I'm very unsettled right now. I can't help but hear all that's going on in the world. So, Lord, I thank you right now for the peace that comes from above, that the world cannot give, that passes all understanding. Lord, I'll take it right now. Thank you, Jesus. How many understand what I'm saying this morning? So what else do you need? Do you need food for the day? You need a new job? You need doors to open? You need a new friend, a companion? Everything comes as a gift from above. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God doesn't owe anybody anything. Only by gifts of love and mercy and grace does He give out. And sadly, so many then live their lives without taking advantage of those gifts that He has. The grace of God, listen, is available to us. And many live a life of lack, with no joy, no peace, no dreams of anything changing for the better in their lives. Well, Pastor, it is what it is. No, it doesn't have to be that way in our lives. You can choose to accept His grace. Here's some other definitions or characteristics that could help us. Grace is classically defined as unmerited favor. Well, what does that mean? God favors us, but it's unmerited. It has nothing to do with me or what I can do to earn it. It's just because He's good. He is love. It's all because of the goodness of God. And for some, because of religion, guess what? They struggle in believing that they have to do something. They believe they have to do something. Come on, Pastor, I got to do something. I know I do to be able to receive anything from God. Well, here's what I can tell you. We can't go one day without God because guess what? He gives us breath and life with the ability to wake up in the morning. Tell me then how you could live one day without God giving you the grace to do it. Tell me how you could love people who are ugly to you if God doesn't give you His love. Just tell me how much you could do. And you say, but you got to do something. I got to do something. All right, fine. Tell me what you can do without God giving it to you first. Paul says in one place over in Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast like it's yours? Can we take a minute and everybody just breathe in and breathe out? Guess who gave that breath to us? God. It's called a common grace to every one of us. Every morning you wake up, thank you, Lord. No, Pastor, I deserve to live today. Sorry, no, you don't. You're living today because of God's grace. We're walking and we're talking and everything God does for us, guess what? It is a gift to us. You mean that's it? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? But Pastor, I have to do this. I got to study for 8 months. I got to read the Bible through. No, there's nothing you can do to receive His grace unless He does it for you first, because everything is by unmerited favor. Here's another definition. God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Grace is God working in me to do things that in my own strength I know I could never do. How about trying to be kind to unkind people? I know I keep saying that, but I had to deal with that this week. How about having patience in your own strength? Guess what? It would not show under a microscope. You could not find patience anywhere in your own strength. But if God gives me His patience, wow! I can be long-suffering, Sister North. I can be patient. And guess what? You could probably even slap me. Well, no, let's don't go that far. But I'm simply trying to show it's God doing for you and for me. And again, yes, we struggle in ourselves like, I'm going to overcome that. So how are you going to overcome it? With what? Let me ask, what do you have to overcome with? How can self overcome self? How does self beat self? No, it's only God who can beat self. God is greater than any and every sin. Every temptation, greater than the world, greater than the devil. But guess what? We don't have that kind of deep confidence on our own. It's only by and through God's saving grace. It's the grace of Almighty God that paid everything for you and me, and He now supplies everything that we need on a daily basis. He is truly the source of everything for our lives. There's no sharing the load, no. Understand, God's either going to totally keep you tomorrow or you won't be kept. But Pastor, I'm going to do something. Oh, no, you won't. Don't you dare go there in your mind. He won't share that with you. So how many want God to keep you into tomorrow? Amen, I do. And should you wake up now, how many want His blessings and His peace and His joy? I believe that we all do, amen. But we have to remember, again, God's grace paid everything and supplies everything to us now on a daily, if not hourly, basis. When Christ died on the cross and He said, "It's finished," what He was saying is the grace of God has paid the price. How many of our sins then are gone? Well, He took 90 and you got to do 10. On your own. No, no. I'm happy to know that every sin has been blotted out. Every sin. And understand, it's the same way now by being kept by God every day, by having His wisdom, by having anything, His understanding and His knowledge, He supplies that to us. He's ready to give us if we'll just ask. Listen, look at it this way. Before the universe was created, there existed God. So where then was all the goodness? In God. Where was all the strength? In God. Where was all the love? In God. He is God and He is love. So now then you add in all the creation in the beginning, the earth and everything that was in it. Who's still the source of everything good? God. What did Adam and Eve then start out with that God did not give them? Nothing. They had nothing. He breathed life into them. So what God's offering of salvation does for us is it returns us back then to the first dependence that Adam and Eve had in the beginning. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. It's like they woke up and they're in a garden and this is nice. Where did this come from? Oh, God made it for you. Oh, I'm eating some food. It's good. Give me another helping of dressing. Please. And who made that? God. Because God was the only one to supply everything. And God says, now I've given you my son, my own flesh and blood, to show you I want to give you everything that you need. Would you just keep coming to me and receive it because I love you? Can we see that this morning? Can you see what I'm saying? When you love someone, you want to bless them. And we want to do something nice for them. And now they might push it away and say, no, we don't want it. But I'm going to keep loving them. Listen, somebody needs to hear this. God will chase you to the day you breathe your last breath. And He will be saying, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what do I have to pay for that? What does it cost me? Nothing. You and I don't pay anything. God just wants us to receive it to show that He really does love us. And if we believe that and truly receive it, then we will, without hesitation, give Him praise and thanking Him for all that He has done. And all He's looking for, He wants us to serve Him with our whole heart all the days of our life. And sadly, some folks have been let down by parents. They've been let down by people. And they end up having a hard time trusting in the grace of God. They've been so psychologically messed up to the place where they just can't believe someone would love them without any strings attached. So because they are loved, they're always looking to do something like, well, if I do something more, He might love me more, might love me today. Watch this. God loves you. Listen, He loves us so that when we wake up in the morning and it's overcast and we're hoping it wouldn't rain and we say, well, can you believe that there's no more sun? Listen, don't be fooled. Understand those are just clouds. The clouds have not done away with the sun. The sun is always shining. Here we go now. Some things might come along and block you from seeing what God has done and is doing in your life on your behalf. But you have to know that God is always shining. The warmth of His love is always there for us. Can you say amen? So, with maybe leftover turkey and dressing possibly still in your freezer, here's my analogy, okay? Here's my analogy. What you have to learn cold turkey is this. You wake up some mornings, you don't feel spiritual, you don't feel like a Christian, you don't want to say hallelujah, you don't want nobody talking to you until you get your first cup of coffee. And if you go by your feelings, then you have to go cold turkey and just learn to say without feelings, yes, I walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't walk by my feelings. So, Lord, I thank you, God, for loving me today, regardless of how I feel right now. Even though I haven't had my first cup of coffee. I may not feel a thing right now, but I know one thing. God, you still love me. His Word says so, and He wants to shower me today with His blessings. He promises then to keep me and direct my steps through each and every day of my life. So, Lord Jesus, I'm bringing you my needs because you promised you would supply all of my needs. Well, let me ask, has He not already proven how much He loves us? He already died for us on an old rugged cross. Can I just tell you, God's love is in this building this morning. Like the rays of the sun, God is trying to reach out to you because that is what grace does. He's trying to reach everybody in this building and ask, can I help you? What do you need from me? Can I help you with salvation? Can I help you with your problem? Can I help you with your lack of strength? Can I help you with that broken heart? Can I help you with that anger issue that you won't let go of? Just know this morning that God's love never stops reaching. God's love never stops reaching. You can push it away. You can say, I don't want it. But you won't stop His love. We cannot stop God's love because His grace is always reaching. His love, listen, is so strong that there's no sin, no rebellion, no pit, no problem that is too hard for God's grace to penetrate and deal with. And yes, sometimes He will allow problems to come our way so that we would get back to trusting then His grace instead of trying to do it ourselves. In our text this morning that we read at the beginning, Paul at one point in his ministry got a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was. Some think it was a disease. Some maybe thinking it had to do with his eyes. Others think it was someone who was persecuting him. But he had this thorn in the flesh that he talked about, and we see where he did say, three times I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, please remove this. And so hard. And he writes, but He, the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all of the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power and grace may rest on me. So listen, no matter what you're in today, God's grace can get you out of it. Whatever you're involved in, He can get you out of it. Whatever the problem is, whatever the heartache is, whatever it is, God can do. God's grace can do it. That's what it is, and it's reaching out to you. And yes, even to a church mentioned in the book of Revelations that was lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And we find He's outside the door. The Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. Just open the door. Can I come in and help you? Can I fellowship with you? Listen, why wouldn't we want to let God come in and help us? What is it with you and me? Why do we shun the only one then who can help us? Lots of luck trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world. And I don't believe in luck or chance. It's God who orders my steps each and every day while I breathe, while I have breath. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy your soul. Only He gives that true, lasting peace and joy. So just know this morning, guess what? He's searching. He's searching. The Old Testament says it this way. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, just looking for who can I help. Can't somebody just trust me? Can't someone become like a child? Understand with me, children don't ask questions. You hand them something good, you hand out something good for them, and they'll just take it. How many know that? Our grandkids, most of the time, will just take it. They don't ask, why are you doing this? They don't say, well, tell me about your childhood before I receive this. No. Normally, it's just thank you. How many know you're here today because of God's grace? And we've lived up to this moment by God's grace. Let me close with this. Ephesians chapter 1, 6 through 8. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Verse 8, that He lavished on us. That He lavished on us. Do you know that in heaven they sing that God is holy? Holy is an attribute that provokes worship. Yes, God created all things, and yes, His power is awesome. But in heaven, they're praising God most of all for His grace, in that He takes people's lives, like you and me, who were messed up and still gets into messes sometimes, and He says, I love you. Well, Pastor, I don't even believe in God. Well, I'm so sorry. Just know He still loves you. And He's still coming for you because He loves you. Yeah, well, I'll take His name in vain. I've taken His name in vain. And my response is yes, and He heard it, but He still loves you. And there's nothing you can do to stop Him from loving you. That's God's grace. And guess what? If you're not a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, the last voice that you'll hear before you die will be Him saying, I love you. Come to me. And if we don't come, that's on you and that's on me. Did you know that? Even if you push that hand away, just know that hand is always there. Listen, God's grace is so great that when a dying thief who was hanging on the cross beside Jesus trusted Jesus for just a couple of hours and God gave him eternal life in heaven. You remember the story? Jesus is dying on the middle cross and both thieves are cursing Him like there's no tomorrow, mocking Him, and then suddenly a light goes off in one of them. He's watching Jesus suffer and he sees Him praying for the ones who are killing Him. Like, what is this and who is this? And then he comes to a point where he tells the other thief, stop cursing Him. Don't you see we deserve to be here, but He doesn't deserve to be here. We're thieves. He didn't do anything wrong. And then he said, Lord, would You remember me when You come into Your kingdom? And we see then Jesus' response, today You'll be with me in paradise. Understand, that's how God's grace works. And religious folks would ask, well, what was his background? Where did he go to church? Guess what? He didn't go to church. God's grace and God's love is so great that just for a few hours of believing, He gave eternal life and salvation to a thief. Because that's what God's glory does. And that's what He glories in. He likes to take the hardest cases and show what He can do so that He'll get all the glory and all the praise. Can we just give Him a little praise right now? Just a hand clap of praise. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. So what does all of this mean to us? Why aren't we praising God if He's God of all grace? If He's rich in grace, if He's abounding in grace. How many times in your life, let me ask, where you were at the edge of a deep pit, about to step over into it. Actually, you were about to step over into the abyss. You didn't know what was at the bottom. Yet God looked your way. You didn't deserve it. You were not in a good place, but God, because of His love, delivered you. I've been there. I know. He delivered me. Grace is the father in the story in the Bible about the prodigal son. The son ran away. Now he's coming back. The father doesn't just stand there and go, aha, I knew you'd come back one day. Out of money? Yeah. You made your bed. You sleep in it, pal. No. The Bible says, while the son was afar off, while he was away off, the father saw him and began running to his son, embracing him, kissed him, and threw his tears. And his son says, the prodigal who had wasted his money with prostitutes and high living, the son says, Dad, I have this speech. Can I say the speech, please? I've sinned against God. I've sinned against You. I'm not even worthy to be one of You. I'm not even worthy to be one of Your servants. And the father stops him. No, Get the ring, get the robe, get the sandals, get everything. I know, but see, Dad, I don't want that. I don't deserve that. I know I've blown everything. But can I just work? Can I work? Because I was eating with the pigs just a week ago. And the father says, no, I got a feast for you. No. Father, I know, but I can't come in the house the way I am. Don't worry, I'll dress you. I'll give you your garments of righteousness, and I'll set the table for you, and I'll give you the best food. But Dad, wait, Dad, I don't know. Hush, shush, don't talk, just come in the house. Just come on. No, but I left the house. Son, I know, but now you're back in the house, and I want you in the house. I'll give you everything you need. But Dad, I have really messed up. No, son, I don't want to talk about the past. I want to talk about my love for you. You've come home. Whew. And now it's all about me and my love for you. This morning, can we not give God our best praise? This morning, I would be willing to say, we all need some gifts of grace from God. Listen, you might need your sins to be forgiven. You got to know He'll do that. You might need strength for the journey. He'll give it to you. You might need peace because you're rattled. You might need joy because you're depressed and you're angry. Whatever it is, remember, every good gift comes from God, from above. And the God of all grace, who says, if you'll just believe and if you'll just receive it, I have it for you. Anybody here needs God's grace? I know I do. I need it every day. Let's just all stand together.